You're listening to the Master Passive Income Podcast Network.
Welcome to the Breakthrough Investor Show. My name is Charles Rose Jr., and we focus on breaking through limitations and barriers to get you to that next level of investing. With me is William Palmer, my amazing co-host. And in today's episode, our guest will be talking about how you can become a successful land investor even while working a full-time job.
That's right, Charles. And I'll also talk about how his business has generated $5 million in sales in 5 years. And he gives us his secret to his success as an investor. Let's get started.
Welcome to the Breakthrough Investor Show, where we guide you to financial freedom and break barriers in your investing to give you the secrets to success. And now, here are your hosts, Charles Rose Jr. and William Palmer.
Hi, everyone. It's Charles Rose Jr. with the Breakthrough Investor Show, where we help you break through barriers and get to that next level as an investor. And with me always is William Palmer, a real estate investor, coach at Master Passive Income, and my amazing co-host at Breakthrough Investor. William, what's up, brother? How wonderful are you doing today?
I am doing great, Charles. Excited as always to be here with you. And yeah, really happy to not be in the snow. I was just out working in the snow all day. And today, Southwest Virginia had its first snow of the year. So super happy to be inside, warm, sitting in front of a computer and getting ready to have a great conversation.
Oh, yeah, man. It is so awesome, man. And William, I know just the other day, you actually went out with a team and y'all helped out people in the mountains with the hurricane efforts cleanup. Tell me more about that real quick. I know we're excited about our guest today, but I just want you to share real quick on that, man.
Yeah, it was my local church and another church and about 70 people combined and probably tens of thousands of dollars worth of material. We went down to Burnsville, North Carolina, and we slept in a church, and one of the churches was great, provided all the food and everything. And we basically cleared yards, hung drywall, reframed houses, and all that stuff for about 3 days. And I'm really looking forward to going back. It's going to be many, many years of work before that place is ever back to normal. And I don't know if normal is really going to be a thing, but yeah, it was a good experience.
Man, that is awesome, man. And William, that's one of the cool things. So William actually left his job last year, which was awesome. And he, you know, has cash flow and properties coming in every single month. We teach students how to build that wealth through properties all the time. And we're so blessed to have a guest today who is a wealth builder himself. And it's cool. I love it, William, because he is like an expert in the land space. I'm telling you, man, this guy is awesome. Like I saw him and met him at the Real Estate Wealth Builders Conference, which we host every year. And he's just so genuine and humble, man.
Yeah, absolutely. I remember the first time I met him, Dustin Heiner actually asked me to get up on stage at RubeCon, and it was the first ever one. And I didn't think about it. And I said, oh, yeah, sure. And I went and sat next to JT and I was like, I feel so outclassed sitting here next to JT because this dude is such an awesome investor. And his space is land. But what's really intriguing is how many people have gone from working the 9-to-5 corporate type jobs and gone to real estate investing. And he also has a background as an engineer, if I'm not mistaken. He can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think I'm right on that one. So really curious to dive into that story and why he got started in real estate and kind of what he's doing now.
Oh, yeah, man. I'd like to hear, you know, what my fellow engineers is up to, because I'm, you know, my background is engineering as well, too. And so I love it. And man, it's so amazing, William, how he's completed over $5 million of deals across 200 transactions. I mean, this guy's crushing it, right?
Yeah. He's absolutely killing it. And also he's doing this at the same time as being a husband and a father. So for everybody out there who thinks that you can't do this and do something else at the same time, well, we have a guy on now that proves that you can do that.
That's right, man. Man, William, I don't know about you, but I want to hear from this guy right now. What do you think? Yeah,
absolutely. Let's jump into it.
All right. Well, let's help me, William, and our audience who's listening right now. Welcome to the show, JT Olmsted. JT, what's up, my brother?
You know, doing great over here. I appreciate y'all having me on to chat today. Look forward to it.
Man, awesome. That is awesome, man. So JT, man, like, you know, so William and I, we are so blessed to to know you, have met you. We see you at least once a year at our Real Estate Wealth Builders Conference, which is going to be in St. Louis again next year in April. But JT, man, tell us more about your story, your investing journey. How did it all start? What made you originally want to do it?
Yeah, I think for me, it all started with a desire for freedom, which I think a lot of real estate investors feel, right? You look at your life and you're like, how do I get more control over what I do every single day? So that was kind of deep seated for me. And I chased a bunch of different avenues before I ended up in real estate. But once I kind of realized that real estate was going to be like the fastest, most like scalable, reliable way for me to kind of obtain that freedom, so when I started to really double down and invest in like real estate education and different types of real estate. I tried a bunch of different niches and I, you know, made money and lost money lots of different ways before I ended up in my specialty in land.
Man.
Sorry, Charles. I mean,
you go ahead, man. You go ahead, man.
Awesome. I'm curious, what were some, did you try any other avenues in real estate before you ended up with land investing particularly?
Yeah, my very first real estate investment, I very naively bought a small office building in West Phoenix. And proceeded over the course of 2 years to lose $100,000. It was a very expensive, very painful lesson, like what not to do in real estate investing. And I was like, wow, I wish I had like a good coach or like someone else to save my money here, but no, I just thought I'd do it the hard way.
And that's not bad, man. I'm sure our audience, they want to know, man, like what happened? Like, what did you did wrong? What did you did right? Let's talk about those things, because I think it's important to look at these, you know, what we call failures or lessons, right? And see, you know, what happened in that story, because our audience listen, they want to know, okay, like how, you know, you can learn from your own mistakes or you can learn from other people's mistakes. So for those who want to say, I don't want to make that $100,000 lesson, I want to learn from JT. Let's talk about that whole process.
Yeah, absolutely. So I started looking at early on, I was very focused on the cash flow aspect of real estate. And so I started looking at single family and multifamily and like, how do I find the right asset? And looked at a bunch of different options. Ultimately, at the time, I had a well-paying, you know, engineering job in tech specifically. And I was like, okay, I'm going to keep doing this. So how do I find something as passive as possible that can like be a long-term wealth builder? My mistake was that I didn't really have the network, you know, and I didn't realize at the time where to go find that network and connect into the right communities to make better decisions. And so I kind of just put my feelers out, found somebody who knew something about commercial real estate, who happened to be a realtor who specialized in commercial, and said, like, help me find some properties. You know, he brought me a bunch of different stuff and I turned down several things, but ultimately ended up in this kind of value add opportunity in this small office. And it was like, there was only two units in the office. One had a long-term lease with a dentist and the other was vacant. And I thought, okay, we can fix this up and projected rents will be good and we'll get some TIs in place. It'll be okay. Obviously, lots of things I didn't understand about that. Lots of things I didn't understand about what price to buy it at, how conservative to be on the projections, what work needed to be done, how it was done. But ultimately, that was in like late 2018. And then going into 2019, I carried this asset all the way into COVID. And so when it was like really getting desperate towards the end, then we hit COVID and the dentist was like disappeared. Rent payments stopped, like everything disappeared, right? We ended up in a lawsuit. It was a whole debacle, right? And so it was just a fascinating end to it. But by the end of it, I realized like, okay, I've gotten myself way too deep. I just need to get out of this asset. And like, I'm going to lose a lot of my money, but I can break clean, you know? And by then I had started into land. So I knew there was something else for me to move into. But as I wrapped that up, it was like, just sell it, get out of the payment, because the payments were pretty massive, you know, monthly payments on that thing. And with no money coming in for the dentist disappearing, it was like, okay, well, I've got big money going out and no money coming in and like a lot of deficit. How do I like wipe this off my books and move on? And that's, yeah, ultimately what I ended up doing.
Wow. Man, but William, that, you know, I think that's a good question, because sometimes, you know, I know we have a mix of audiences listening, you know, maybe some of them might be going through something similar, maybe in their own way, right? Might not be the exact building that you got into, but it's like, you know, when do you know when to, you know, leave, you know, this asset class to go into the next, right? Because I think, you know, sometimes people, when they think of it, it's like some people feel like, oh, well, I'm not a quitter, or I don't want to give up on this, right? But in reality, it might not necessarily be giving up. It's just, you know, seeking a better opportunity. So what was that process like for you, you know, thinking, okay, like I need to get out of this and there's this better opportunity for me. How did you feel during that process?
Yeah. So what was paramount for me to remember throughout the process and even since then was that, like, it was the concept that even though I went in there thinking I knew something, like, I really hadn't taken the time to properly prepare to get into the asset. I kind of jumped. And by the time I realized position I found myself in, I had a decision. I either had to say, like, look, real estate doesn't work for me. And, like, this is a broken model. And, like, I'm not, like, it's never going to happen. Or real estate go so far as to say, real estate's a scam. And this is how people lose their money and whatever. Like, what happened was I realized, okay, look, like, I made a mistake. I made an uneducated mistake. So either I can, like, accept the fact that that's what happened and that this is a single instance and I can get educated and move forward, or I can give up now. Right. And, like, I wanted to be freed too badly. So I was like, I'm not giving up. Like, I can move past this. Right. Like, we're just going to accept this for the loss that it is. And I'm going to be a very expensive way not to do this again. And we're going to keep going. Right. Which is ultimately what I did. And it played out brilliantly. But, like, that was the pivotal point. Was like, okay, am I going to, like, let this crush me, like losing $100,000 on my first deal? Or am I going to say, like, okay, I'm going to use this as a very strong platform to learn not what to do and like move forward, right?
So that's great. But when you did your land, you were getting the land about the time that you were getting out of this property. What did you do different when you started doing land as opposed to doing the commercial space?
Yeah. So the thing with land for me was there were a few different pieces. One of them was leverage, right? Like, in land, especially in the beginning, it was like all cash transactions for me. So one of the things that hurt so bad, like, had me waking up like in sweats, right? It was like, I have a $7,000 payment I have to make on this building next month, right? And I don't have any money, right? I have no income or whatever. Like, it just wasn't happening. And so when I moved into land, it was all cash, right? So I paid cash for the marketing, I paid cash for the properties, and I would sell cash, right? Like, and we're selling with my own financing, kind of reverse the position. Like, I was like, man, like, this feels so much better to have, like, not be in this high leverage position where I'm sweating the risk, right? Because debt's a great tool, but it can also be a very painful sword, right? Because it costs, right? So you're like, if you use it appropriately, it can be great. But in the beginning, I was like, I don't want to use any debt right now. I just want to be all cash. I'll take my savings and, like, just strategically do that, or bring in outside investors or whatever, right? Because I'm just not comfortable getting into a debt position at that point. And it took years for me to, like, figure out how to appropriately use it in my land business to the point we do now, right? But in the beginning, it was like, I'm just gonna do all cash transactions. It keeps it so simple, right? So that was one of the things that I kind of carried over from that, because I did not want to wake up in that position again. And then a few other lessons, you know, were understanding, like, who to trust, right? And how to verify, you know, it's that trust but verify situation where it's like, look, I trust the realtor probably has good intention, but I really need to make sure by, like, going to another outside expert who's not involved in this transaction and being like, are these calculations correct? Am I being too optimistic? Like, what does this really look like? You know, and if you can find that subject matter expert to really give you that outside opinion on something, so it brings so much more, like, confidence and validity to, like, where you stand than just being like, no, I've got this. I'm going to figure it out. He said it was fine. Like, I'm sure he's got only my best interests at heart, you know, like, we're just going to make this go great. So yeah, like, being able to, like, diversify the opinions of the people around me and making sure that they had, like, experience to back up, you know, that I can lean on a little bit, that helps until you can stand on your own foundation, having built up your own kind of wealth of experience.
So how'd you find your subject matter experts?
Yeah, that was more networking. In the beginning, my networking was so small, but as you spend some time in the space, going to events, going to, like, you know, the Wealth Builders Conference, going to these places, you start to meet people and, like, you build relationships and you help people out, right? And then you can find ways to connect and, like, kind of help each other, right? And so that just evolved naturally. And I was very intentional about being like, what events are happening in my area? How can I go to this event and this event and this event? Whatever real estate events are happening, try and learn a little bit more, connect with one or two more people. And I'm not really an extrovert. So it's just like, I just need to go to these events enough times that I'm going to meet a few people. Right. And then just kind of build up this required network. And that's just like brute force at some point for me to, like, meet enough people to make this work out.
And get out of your comfort zone. Yeah, that's a JT. I totally understand, man. William probably can't understand because William is definitely a social butterfly. And I'm definitely, so naturally I'm an introvert. A lot of people don't know that. I guess, you know, the term that they coin people like you and I nowadays, JT, is like the ambivert, right? We know how to be right there in the middle, right? Because we've learned, you know, how to not be so much that way. So I think that's so cool, man. Like, how how you really got out of your comfort zone. And I think for the introverts listening out there, you should stretch yourself. You should get uncomfortable to be around the right people. Because I promise you, and JT, correct me if I'm wrong, but being an introvert and then when you end up getting around the right people, like your tribe, the people you can relate to and talk to, isn't it amazing? And you value it so much more.
Yeah, right? I'm a small group guy. You can't shut me up in the right situation. But
right?
That's great, because I really feel like most of the time introverts have so much information and they're a wealth of knowledge, but it's getting them to turn that fire hydrant on. And whatever yes. you do, just sit back and actually listen. For extroverts like myself, I have to rein myself in, because when you start talking or Charles starts talking or any other introverts that do awesome things, I'm like, I really want to know what they actually think. I'm going to listen.
Absolutely. That's so cool, man. Man, JT. So tell us more about this land journey. Like, I know you talk about all the cool things that happened and how it worked out great. Was there anything in your land journey, like a major obstacle that you hit while investing in land, and how did you overcome it?
Yeah, there was, so naively, as is the common theme here, as I was kind of wrapping up the office building is when I was really ramping up land. I got started and was testing the waters, but I really like doubled down hard as I closed down the office and started up land. And for the first probably, I usually 18 months or so of my journey in land, I was constantly like breaking even or losing money a little bit, like losing money here and make some money there. And like just trying to learn so many things that I got to the end of that 18 months after having experimented like in as many land things as I could possibly think of, whether it was different types of marketing or different types of land assets or different types of seller conversation, whatever I could do, right? Just trying to just broaden my horizons. I got to the end and thought like, if I keep doing this, I am literally going to run out of money. Like all my savings are going, like I just don't like look at the bank account and being like, well, I only got so long left, so I better figure this out. And so I had to come to like, it was a very like come to Jesus conversation. It was like, okay, look, I got to figure out what's going to work and what's not going to work and what has succeeded. So it was very introspective where I sat down and looked at like the last 18 months and decided like, what worked for me and what didn't work for me? What did I like? What did I not like? You know, where did I see success? And it until I took that time and like stepped out and like really thought through it and got a sense of it, like I was probably headed towards doom, right? But taking that time to break out and look back helped me understand like, okay, this particular type of land I've been really successful in, right? And this type of marketing I seem to be like really succeeding in. Like, why don't I just do that and only that? Why don't I just like cut out the other stuff that is exciting and interesting and new, but like not really going to like put food on the table? So like, let's just focus on these two things. And that is when I really was able to move forward, right? Is because it became so clear that like, if I didn't like scale that wall and move like and narrow down my focus, then I was just going to get stuck or crash. Like there was kind of where I was at in that moment.
I heard this saying the other day, there's riches in the niches. Or niches, or however you say that word, but you get.
I heard that literally at a real estate conference this year. It says, "Is that there are riches in the niches, and snitches get stitches."
Yeah. I've heard the back end of that one too. But most definitely, a lot of people get caught up in that shiny object syndrome, and it can be hard to dial in at what you particularly like and are good at doing in your own space. Because I would imagine, I mean, I know in real estate, we have commercial, we have residential, we have syndications, we have all kinds of other things. But I'm sure inside of land, there's so many other ones you can go after. And like you're saying, you went after something specific. It's pretty great when you find that one thing that you're good at and you enjoy doing.
Yeah, it is definitely liberating in a lot of ways to understand like where you want to focus. But like you said, it's hard won.
Gotcha. Yeah. Quick question though. Did your wife think you were crazy when you started doing this? Like how did she react?
Yeah, so my wife is a saint. She's very patient with me. So
you better say that, man. This is recorded.
That's true. This is. Let me say that one more time. Yes. I think that like when we very first started, like there was, if I'm talking about like one like pivotal introspective moment in my journey that I will never forget, that's this conversation where I basically sat down and said to her like, I'm going to quit my job. I know we have this office building that's losing money. Okay. And I know we just started this land thing that like really hasn't made a lot of money or really any money yet, but like, I really think it's going to work. And I really think we're going to figure out the office too. I'm confident we're going to make it all. And I know we've been like scrimping and saving and living well beneath our means all these years, but I'm going to put it all on the line so that we can like make this happen. Right. And she's like, okay. She's like, I agreed to live in a box with you in the beginning, and I'm willing to go to the box if that's where we need to go. You know? So I was like, all right, man, like if that's, she said yes. So we're in, like, we're going to make it happen. So that was pivotal for me. Cause then I had the permission to like screw it up. I was like, okay. And I did, I screwed up for a long time, you know, but ultimately figured it out by the end. Right. So that was like, that was the space that I needed to like go learn a lot of things and then go move on.
You literally burned the ship, brother. Literally, you ever heard the saying, like, you burned the ships, like you got rid of the job, all these things that made you comfortable. Like, you know, there wasn't a plan B for say, like, you know, yeah, we know you could probably get an engineering job again and all that stuff, but you literally like burned the ships. How important do you think it is? I mean, because, you know, there's this thing where, okay, you work and you build wealth on the side. And some people did it very, very well, where their income from their business exceeded their job. And then some people like you, like you're all in. Like, how important do you think it is to go on all in, and at what point should you go?
Yeah, that's a super hard answer to give. Like, as with most companies, it just depends, right? In my opinion, like for me personally, it was clear that I had to move forward in that manner because I was no longer like a good employee. Like, I'm just not willing to underperform in pretty much any aspect of my life. And so previous to that point, I was a great employee. I was like, it was the employee you wanted, right? Because I was like super invested, super committed to the success of the team, really wanted everything to go well. I went above and beyond to make it happen. But the shift came during this transition in my life where I was like, I just started being less and less committed. And I looked at my performance at work and was like, I'm like mediocre at best right now. And like, I'm not okay with that. So I mean, I can continue to be mediocre. And my boss was like, please don't leave. Like, so I could have stayed, but like, I wasn't okay with me underperforming. So I had to quit. I was like, there's no other choice. Like, I can't keep doing this. So I'm going all in and we're going to figure this out. Right. And if I completely botch it, I'll have to go try and find another job and lose half my savings or whatever, you know? But that was the moment where I knew like, okay, like I can't live like this. I can't live in both spaces. I have to be all in one. But I think for some people it's okay. Like, they're okay living in both, one foot in both. And frankly, it's a much smoother ride. I guarantee it. Less ulcers involved, you know, if you like can keep a steady income and build on the side. So I think for some of that's a great solution. But for most of the people that I've seen who have really exploded in growth are those who are willing to go all in. Like, it wasn't a side project for them. They were like, I'm just going to put it all out, you know, like, and they didn't have to be crazy about it, but they were 100% focused on their objective. And like, it's hard to get to accomplish really big things unless you're 100% focused.
Yeah.
Wow. That's some good feedback. My goodness. So JT, you know, if someone wants to get started investing with Land, I believe don't you have like a website that can help them through that whole process?
So I don't personally do any coaching or like education in the space. Usually I refer people over to Seth Williams, you know, with RE Tipster. I think he has a fantastic course. He's a great mentor and educator in the space. We do have a piece of software that helps with like note investing. So for people who want to manage their land portfolios, we have yourlandloans.com. And, you know, that definitely is a great self-service tool for land investors and others who want to manage their note portfolios.
Is that your business, your land loans?
Yep. That's my tech side coming out. I was like, you know what? Let's build a great tech platform to make managing notes easier. And so that's your land loans.
Dude, that is awesome, man. I'm going to the website right now. Wow. So you help them with that whole process. Notes made easy. Get started. I love it.
Yep.
Yourlandloans.com. And we can put that in the show notes for sure. Man, that's awesome. JT, this episode has been absolutely amazing, man. Is there anything else we missed to help our investors who's listening to be a breakthrough investor just like you, man?
I think at the end of the day, once you've decided what you want to do, it's really just, it's putting in the time, right? Once you've made the commitment, it's just getting shown up every single day over and over again that I think is where, like, you know, the greatest successes are had.
The commitment and the time. You can relate to that too, right, William?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Most definitely. I think anyone who's in the investor space, you're going to end up relating to it at one point or another.
100%, man. Well, JT, so tell us, JT, you know, if someone wants to learn more about you and what you're doing, where can they find you online?
Yeah, I think the best place to find more about Olmsted properties is Olmsted.properties. Like, that's where we keep a lot of our information about the company. You can always reach out to me through the site there, learn more about kind of what we're doing and how we work with investors, all that stuff.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, this has been fantastic, JT. And thank you so much for showing up on this call. And man, we can't wait to see you next year at the Real Estate Wealth Builders Conference. You coming, right?
Looking forward to it.
That is awesome. And of all of you who's listening, please come there. JT will be there. JT is one of our awesome speakers. So please come to it. We'll put more information in the show notes so that we can help you build wealth through real estate. All right, everyone, you all have a wonderful show, and we will see you on the next episode.